Did want to thank 2 weeks ago Roger Thornburn for being in the studio, and we borrowed him from Mel Walsh's show. She goes on Wednesdays 1 to 2, I think.
Okay.
For the over 50s. And we mentioned his site, and we mentioned him and some of the things he talks about on our site. Or a reminder that you can go GCC...
Let me go there real quick.
Yeah, we forget, but it's on zen.kvmr.org.
And if you click on shows, it'll show you the dates, and you would want to select 14 days prior to today, which was November 11th when Roger was in here. And somebody
GCCLC.org. GCCLC.org. Got it.
Okay.
Gold Country Computer Learning Center.org.
Great. And also, Roger had an article in the paper. I think he probably is a regular contributor to the union.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was asking me about cleaning up their computer, and both aspects, physically cleaning it with a vacuum cleaner or an airbrush or air gun, and also cleaning up the files on it. And he had an excellent article back in the beginning of October, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably posted on his website also. He's got lots of wonderful information. And it tells you how to go about defragging, and it even talks you through two different ways, because I was doing it one way to show somebody, and they said, oh, but this newspaper article says,
mm-hmm.
and I read it, and I go, okay, well, that's correct also. And then right underneath what he wrote was the way I was going about it. So it was interesting. He actually, you know, covered both bases, which was good.
There's more to my skin a cat there, Glenn. You know
exactly.
That's absolutely true. I've volunteered and did some work for Channel 11, the community TV station up here. Spoke to Lou Sitzer, their principal there, and they have at Channel 11 training courses for how to put your video out on YouTube and out on Google Video, which
okay.
essentially are becoming the same thing. One bought the other. The course, I will not announce the dates of, but... if you visit their website, whose address I will give you shortly, or you visit them behind the Armory, as it used to be known, behind the Imaginarium, in fact, on one end of Ridge Road, opposite the Superintendent of Schools office. They're around the back there, and Lou showed me some envelopes with information and tutorials. Very nicely done. So the technical portion of the artistry of producing videos, they will help you with. As to what it takes to become an artist, well, who knows? But the technical portion is out there.
And that's an interesting point. I've always considered myself to be very non-artistic, and anybody can have a camera these days, and they can pick it up, look at something, and take a picture. And I was talking to a friend of mine who was helping create some business cards for me and using some of his wonderful artwork, and I said, you know what? I could have probably been there that very same moment and tried to take the same picture, and it wouldn't have worked.
Right.
And he said there was a great example. I'm not going to explain who or where, but a whole class went someplace. I mean, they bussed to a place for a particular event. And in photographing that event with 20 members in the class, there were 20 very distinct, different impressions
mm-hmm.
of how that event occurred. And my friends happened to be spectacular, and I didn't have a chance to see some others, but
mm-hmm.
it was discussed in the class how interpretation, being in the right spot, maybe laying down, looking up, you know, tilting over, and this was with a digital camera with just the basic settings. He might have messed with a white filter, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was also showing me in Adobe Photoshop how you can just select a part of the picture and change this, and it's just all really fascinating, all the different things that can go on there. So it was an interesting exercise, and it does take some artistic creativity to create a video or to work on the video, to tweak it, do this, do that, and the other thing. You know, there are some things that are fairly easy to do, like with Audacity. You can take an audio file and you can delete certain words.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know that we've encouraged broadcasters here that have a piece of music that is... got questionable material, rather than trying to remember here right at the board and say, okay, now let's turn down the volume at the right moment. You can actually go in and take that out and
yeah.
create what would be called then a radio edit if there isn't already one available. And things like that are pretty easy to do, but then when you want to get a little bit more creative with maybe changing the voice, slowing it down, speeding it up, then you have to know a little bit more and frankly have the idea of what can be done.
I'm very aware, Glenn, of things that are all technique and no artistry, because they look perfect in the same way as a synthesizer can produce a perfect A or a perfect C without any distortion.
Mm-hmm.
But the real world is full of little quirks and fuzzy bits and cracks and missing parts or, you know, whatever. So I'm very aware of that. For example, I've seen a photo exhibition taken where photographs were taken with nothing but pinhole cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And they're restricted on the amount of light available to do the job. They're technically very restricted. It's still technology, very, very restricted. And I must admit that artistry is entirely down to the eye and knowing your medium.
Mm-hmm.
So again, returning to Channel 11, they do two different things. One is this technology seminar that shows you how to get stuff up on the web, and the other is they have what looks like a very nice editing lab there where you can learn how to hopefully be creative.
Okay.
I might even have to do that myself, you know that?
You know, I may go do that also, because I want to start learning how to work with things more easily. And and that's a great resource. We have some wonderful facilities here in Nevada County that we're able to take advantage of, and some wonderful individuals working at those facilities, teaching, training, and all of that.
What's the website?
I don't know. You were going to say.
I'm going to say I haven't got it yet.
Okay.
It ain't CH11. They weren't lucky enough to get that.
Well, we'll have that in a moment. Do you want to take a phone call for a second?
Yeah, let's
play. Okay, let's do that. Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Welcome.
Yes, I was listening to your program a couple of weeks ago. I was running around town doing some business, and I didn't have my cell phone, but you were talking about monitors, PC monitors with
yes.
a lady. And I'm about to re-jumpstart my photographic career, and I want to get a new monitor and a bunch of other things. I'm getting a very high-end Epson printer, too. And I was down talking to Best Buy about a month ago, and they suggested the Gateway FPD2185W.
As a display?
Yes, the 21-inch LCD monitor. And one thing I liked about it, it'll turn from horizontal to vertical. Just flip the screen, and that's a great advantage to me.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then when I turned in a couple of weeks ago, and heard your program. You were talking with this lady about Sony Artisan monitors. Now, I've done a lot of downloading and talking with Sony, and that's no longer made. And apparently, that was the old CRT, I believe.
Yeah, we were talking about the fact that it had the so-called Trinitron TV tube in it, or picture tube in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my computer desk, I'm going from an old LaCie monitor now, 15 inches, about 5 years old, and I want to get a very high-end monitor. And what do you think about this Gateway? It's $500.
I can't speak specifically to Gateway's monitors. I am not a big fan of their computers. I'll throw that out there, and we do need to remind folks that the opinions you hear on this show are those of the speaker only, not necessarily those of KVMR staff,
business
underwriters, and all of that. I need to do that legally, even though I know you know that. I just need to say that.
Okay.
I will go take, actually, Paul, were you going to go take a look and see the specs on that, or should you want me to bring that up?
Could do, but, you know, Roger brought up something very interesting, not being a graphics designer by any means or any kind of artist in this realm. And I just made what turns out to be a faulty assumption that if it's an LCD, liquid crystal display, flat monitor, that it's all nicely equally lit behind. And that's not strictly true. And just as a coincidence, last weekend I had a scrap LCD monitor and I decided to take it apart. Because I'm always curious about how these things work. And lo and behold, there's two essential designs. One of them uses two minuscule cold cathode mercury vapor lamps, just like the fluorescent tubes in your ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
One to the left and one to the right of the screen. And there's a complex series of refractors that are supposed to dissipate the light equally over the back plane so that the light shines equally through the translucent color pixels. And I know for a fact the fact that it doesn't start being lit equally behind means it probably won't end up being lit equally behind. And this lady that called in said that they are typically a little bit dimmer near the edges. You're after, as an artist, getting equal illumination across the whole screen.
Yeah.
Now, I can't say that I have acute enough vision to notice the difference, but it does exist because the alternative is a phosphorescent backplane, which is a sheet of material which gives off light when electricity is applied to it. That will give you equal lighting coming from the back of the screen, but unfortunately, it's not a pure white color. It's
okay,
offset towards the greenish end of the scale.
I'm also going to get Photoshop Elements, which will do me, and I have thousands of slides that I've already have.
Right.
One of my new ventures, too, is to get a digital camera, but that's going to come after the turn of the year. And so I just want to use with the backlog of these slides I have, so I'm getting a slide scanner, too, the high-end Nikon.
Mm-hmm.
And also this Epson printer, it'll print 17 inches wide.
Wow.
A couple thousand dollars. So I want a good quality monitor, and then I heard you talking to this person last week or 2 weeks ago,
right?
And since then I've been online to Sony, and apparently, I mean, left foot doesn't seem to know what the right foot's doing with Sony. And I finally got it all down. Apparently, the X Bright is their latest monitor. And I finally got to the sales department, and the sales department said, well, Sony is no longer making desktop monitors for PCs. And I'm going, what the devil? And I just
now, is that a CRT or is that a liquid crystal flat display?
Pardon? That was LCD, right.
Right.
Hmm.
What you could... I guess it's a tricky one, I guess, but what you'd ideally find is an outlet where you can view them in different lighting conditions and compare them side by side with a standard color scale or whatever. The odds of being able to do that in some of these big places like Best Buy are kind of low.
Yes.
The other thing is, in the end, if you find something, as we usually say on the show, if you can find something that you can return to the place you're not satisfied with, that would be what to do.
I also understand that one of you people recommend Fry's.
Well, not necessarily that I recommend it. I shop there a lot.
And it's got a good range of choices. So on the back wall of the place, I would estimate there are about 40 different LCD displays.
Oh, okay.
And the labeling on the LCD displays tells you, this one has a contrast ratio of 500. This one has a contrast ratio of 800. This one has got a brightness of, and it's something measured in candelas, which is basically the number of candles of power light it gives out.
That's all Greek to me.
Right, but in the end, what happens is, how I learn about things is, what's it, Waldorf style, learn by doing. I just look at these things and go, after I've looked at a few of them, I say, now I'm looking at monitors and I don't know what they are. Can I actually figure out from what I'm looking at what the contrast ratio is? This one looks kind of muddy. It's got a low contrast ratio. Do you see how I mean?
Well, I have to also buy a, what do they call these things, a calibrator.
That came up, and Roger had a source for those. It had a weird name. What was it? He seemed to think they were like 90...
The Color Vision Spider 2 that I've been looking at. Apparently that's a high-end
I remember
one.
Him mentioning
he
that.
He seemed to think you could get it for $90 or something.
Yeah.
Well, they have packages from $79 to $280.
Mm-hmm.
And the more expensive versions have advanced options in the software. I don't know if I need to go that high, really. You know, this is all new to me, the digital. I've been shooting film for over 25 years.
You actually, know. You know what, caller? In my case, I had over 1,000 travel photographs as negatives from 10, 15 years ago, and I was looking at the process of converting them into digital and got an inexpensive slide scanner to see what it would take, and it did a reasonable job, but it was very labor-intensive. So if you've got a large number of things, what will drive you crazy? Just the sheer time taken to do it.
Yeah, putting them in, switching, yeah. You know, all of that. Now,
well, there is something that Nikon makes for its cool skin. I'm going to get the high-end cool skin.
So it's got a belt feeder, has it?
The LCD, I think it's a $1,000 one versus a $500 one. And uh-huh. They have a contraption you can put on that that'll bulk load and do slides for you, but it's $450.
Well, in my case, what I did in the end was I wheeled all my box full of slides off down to, as it happens, Longs, although Costco does it as well, $3.99 for 50. And I thought, if it's a crummy job, in other words, it doesn't come out very well, at least I've got a preview of what's there, so I can then go and do a more, more professional scan of the ones of interest.
So you actually handed it to the people behind the counter,
yep.
And for $3.99 for 50 slides, they digitized them for you.
Yes.
Well, I'm retired, and you know all I
so
do
you've got
is
the time.
Photograph and fly fish. So
let me back up and ask a question. What kind of computer are you going to use to do this?
Well, I have about a 2-year-old HP. And it's fully loaded, 500 megabytes of RAM and 160 gig, I think, the hard drive. I'm going to get a backup external hard drive. I already worked with a computer fellow here in town.
Right.
And he's advised me to want to get an external hard drive.
Definitely.
And I'm getting serious about this. You know, I've been doing this for 25 years. When I used to live in Sacramento 10, 15 years ago, I had 5 or 6 shows. And but they were always at poor man's galleries.
Okay.
And so my idea here is to, put a portfolio together, first of all,
mm-hmm.
5 or 6, maybe 10, 5.5 by 7s in each of the categories that I shoot, and start marketing myself locally just by going into art dealers and whatever kind of stores. And, you know, this monitor, this printer I'm going to get will print 17-inch wide by whatever length you want.
Okay, well, let me back up a little bit, because I want to address the issue of this computer. With 500 megabytes of RAM, that's really a very low amount of RAM if you're going to be doing high-end graphics work. If it doesn't have a high-end graphics card, you're not going to be able to probably go to the output and see the quality on a $500, $600 LCD that you want to use. This computer is probably not going to meet your needs. Would you agree, Paul? I don't know the specs on it, but if it's an out-the-door HP computer, it probably has a standard video card. It doesn't have DVI video card.
Do you know, caller, what DVI is?
DVI?
Yeah,
No.
Digital video interface. Most computers use what they call a video graphics array, VGA, which is analog technology.
Okay.
Most of the high-end LCD monitors now are using digital video interface. All the Apple computers use it. And the idea behind that is you don't get any change or loss between the computer and its display. So what the video card gets is precisely and exactly what appears on the screen. So I would consider, if your machine does not have a funny-looking video connector on it, known as DVI,
okay,
that it have that. And it may well be that a high-end monitor has nothing but a DVI input. Some of them have got both.
Okay.
My feeling is anything of professional grade or that's really going to make the mark is going to have a DVI card. And if you've got a DVI card, it's going to have at least 32 or 64 megabytes of its own display memory, which is what you're going to need.
If okay. not more. I mean, some of them are coming out with 128 or 256 megabytes of
right. And that's to do
RAM
with,
for just the video.
That's to do with how many pixels across and down the screen and what depth of color there is for each pixel. So you want to be able to display in at least 65,000 plus colors per pixel to get the full range of color.
Okay, well, I'll talk to my computer person I work with on that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely ask the words DVI, and they should know what that means.
Right. But
yes,
part of
sure
me is if you have all this expensive equipment and peripherals, you need a really nice high-end computer to run them, and that's where I would first concentrate and then look at the peripherals that will work with that. And if you're going to consider that, I'm betting most of our listeners out there who are Mac users are going to say Mac is the way to go.
Well, I did have two Macs when I lived in Sacramento in my first venture up here about 5 years ago in Grass Valley. But I live in and I lived up in Banner Labacap Road at one time, a very expensive house. And now I'm down in a more modest house, south end of Grass Valley, about a mile is Grass Valley side of Alta Sierra. And when I got, I need cable. I've got a satellite for my internet and everything. And at the time, they were not compatible with Macs. You couldn't, if you had a Mac, you couldn't get it.
Oh, now it is.
Well, now it probably is, but I've got, you know, oh, gosh, all the stuff in in Windows form. And
so you'd have to duplicate all
CPU,
of your software.
And I just soon stay with it. And I've talked, I know a couple of graphic artists, and from what I've just heard by reading my photography magazines, that the CPUs, I mean the, oh, I'm sorry, what are you?
The RAM?
The non-Macintoshes, I forget what you call those.
PC.
PCs, yes, I'm sorry, are very capable now.
Okay. Well, that was just a thought. It's something you might want to consider. At the very least, look into the video capabilities of your computer, because it may not even be able to adequately, it may not be able to period drive a monitor that you're thinking of getting.
Okay, Ryan, look into video
the graphics adapter. Not the video pixels, just the graphic interface, the VGA interface or the DVI interface. Because if you're talking about a high-end monitor, most often it will have DVI connections, and if I can almost bet that your computer doesn't have that.
Oh, this is with the PC, my PC. Right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And if your computer doesn't have it, that's not a bad thing, in that you can go out and there was actually, I told Paul about something that was on sale at Fry's this weekend. As a matter of fact, it was a 128 megabyte.
It's a high-end video card.
High-end video card. But after rebate, it was only $30, and it had the DVI out as well as VGA out, and it had the added bonus of it could go out to two monitors also. It could support two displays
at
the same time.
Do you know if there's a Fry's in the Roseville area?
There is going to be one right there underneath the Auto Mall sign. That's Fry's Electronics, that new building there. Otherwise, the closest one is the one down on Northgate at I-80.
And let's not forget buying locally. So ask your local computer guy about his source of supply for these things, too. I don't ever want to suggest we do anything but shop locally when possible.
I just didn't think there were any computer,
well, they can usually get them for you.
Staples, so and that's a joke, you know, for what I want.
Well, you can usually ask your local computer guy, and they can order it for you or whatever. So don't ever forget that part of things.
Look online.
Okay.
Find out what you need. So we're going to go ahead and move on. But I thank you very much for calling. It's some interesting information. And when you do finally get your setup together, would you let us know?
Yes, I will. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. And
thanks.
What we learn will go out there on our website, zen.kvmr.org. I found the web address of NCTV Channel 11, the community access TV station up here. It's simply nevadacountytv.org. There you go, www.nevadacountytv.org. And there's a message from Lou here about the fundraiser that they just had. So all the best of luck to them.
And also, if you want to send us a question via email during the show, you can email us at zen@kvmr.org. And again, the website, zen.kvmr.org. And remember, for the website, no www in front of that, just zen.kvmr.org.
Sure. What else have you got? Oh, you're going to talk about the AVG thing, right, Glenn?
Yes. If you look at our website, I just put in, I think for today's show, some information concerning AVG. And I know that a lot of I've gotten several phone calls from people where I've put AVG free on their computer, and they have said, oh my god, I'm getting this big screen and it says that support for it's going away, and it doesn't tell you that you can go get another free AVG, but it encourages you to go out and get AVG Professional Edition for a fee. And I'm not opposed to paying people a fee, and AVG is an excellent product, and they're very deserving of a fee if you want to go in that direction getting their Professional Edition. However, they still have, and hopefully will always have, their free edition available. It's a little tricky to find, so if you go to today's show notes, let's see, here we go. I updated this earlier and that didn't work, so let's see if we can go let me click home. But anyway, there's a link in there for today's show. Where did I put that, Paul? I've got to look under shows and then click today's date. That's what I need to do. There
right,
we go.
And the site itself has had the theme change just because we get creative. Well, I don't know if creative's a word. Somebody else was creative, provided us a theme, and we put it up there, and it now looks like the flight deck of some kind of spaceship. So we mess around with the website. We're just experimenting. I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm not an artist. The content up there is interesting. The presentation, okay.
Okay. Now, one thing that I found, if you go to shows and then click on what says next show, which is today's date, November 20th, and I put in there AVG is stopping support for the free versions that are not 7.5, and I put a link there for, oh, look at this. If you click on the link, it'll actually go to the file and say, do you want to save it?
So, well, hootie hada.
I didn't know that I had done that.
And again, thanks to Roger, who experimented with this, and there's no specific need to uninstall the old one.
Correct.
But it doesn't say update. It says, do you want to repair the installation? And the answer is yes, repair it. Not remove it, not do these other things. Repair it, and it will uninstall, then install itself. Have we got a moment for a radio ad, Glenn?
Sure.
Let me see if this works. It's quite amusing. We are not all bowing and scraping to Apple. Here's a radio ad, and if it works, this is an ad for Crapple. Let's see how this works.
With full audio capability can cost you thousands of dollars. But at Crapple, we sell our computers for just $29.95. How do we do it? Simple. We spend very little money on our voice processing circuit. Just turn the Crapple on and listen how it greets you.
Hi there!
The Crapple tells you if you've got mail.
Hey, you got mail! Look, hey, you're not looking!
The Crapple can even help you correct word processing errors.
You did that wrong! Ah!
And when you're ready to shut the system down for the day, the Crapple's right there to tell you what to do.
Don't turn me off! Pay attention to me!
Crapple Computers, affordable technology that enlightens, informs, and annoys.
Annoys and informs. Well, that really spoke for itself, which is they saved money on the voice circuits. It sounded particularly bad here. It's not normally supposed to sound that bad.
Exactly, and hopefully we never sound that way. We have some more phone calls coming in, so why don't we go to that? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Caller, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
I have just a pretty quick question for you. My husband and I have a pretty old PC that we desperately want to get rid of, and we've been listening to you guys talk about Apple for the last couple of years, and we're thinking about getting a laptop, but we're not really sure which one to get. I just wondered if you could make a recommendation. We don't do a whole lot on the computer outside of just basic, you know, surfing. My husband does a little day trading. We do our banking. You know, we have a little one that plays some little basic games. I don't even know, will they run on an Apple laptop?
Well, here's the thing. There's nothing that you're doing so far that sounds so PC specific that you couldn't go with an Apple. The good news is, a very short time ago, Apple just brought out a new laptop for just over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the fact that it's $1,000 the good news, it's that Apples used to be extremely expensive and now they're just expensive, right?
Yeah.
And this is what they call a techno blurb. It's an Intel Duo Core, meaning that it uses this new CPU. I think I'm right in saying it's...
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, that came out, I don't know, 6 or 9 months ago, but this new model of laptop came out for lower than its equivalence. It was that you'd have to pay $1,500 or $1,700 for this. I'm looking at the website apple.com, and I'm seeing if I can get the information. Obviously, the price isn't prominent here. If it's what I think it is, then it's $1,099 or $1,069 or something like that.
I seem to remember seeing the $1,099 price. Let me ask, why do you want a laptop?
Because the way our house is set up right now, we have our computer desk in the dining room, which we just really don't like, having a big, ugly desk sitting there. We just thought it'd be nice to have a laptop that we could, you know, fold up and put in a...
Sounds reasonable?
Okay.
You know, just...
And in fact, if you added together the cost of a display and a Mac base unit and a keyboard and a mouse and all this other stuff, you'd hit about the price of a laptop. It used to be laptops were 30% more than the equivalent in a desktop computer.
Right.
But this is actually a good price for an Apple desktop, and it's a laptop. And you can plug another display into it if you want.
Uh-huh.
And you can plug a normal USB keyboard. You don't have to buy an Apple keyboard. You don't have to buy an Apple monitor.
So you
can tote other stuff. It never used to be like that. It is like that now. And the good news also is, if people don't know it, that the Apple has no trouble at all now talking to PCs and vice versa.
Right.
Oh, that's great. Now, what about photos? That's the other thing we do a lot of is...
I would say this is close to perfect for that job.
And it'll have a lot of built-in software, iPhoto and various things like that that'll work. I actually found the site here. Their little laptop with the 13-inch screen comes in three different models, from $1,099 to $1,299 to $1,499, depending on
screen
how much...
Size, right?
No, the screens are all the same, depending on how much RAM and the size of the hard drive. So that $1,099 is actually a very, very competent little computer, and it'll run races around the one you have now, certainly.
And will it play games? Will it play any?
Depends which games you're after. The Sims is, if you've got kids in the house that like the game Sims or Sims 2, that will run on the Apple.
Yeah, well, my son likes to play World of Warcraft, but he has his own computer. I don't want that online.
Okay.
And quite right, too.
if there's a game that you like in particular, check beforehand to make sure that it is out for Apple as opposed to a PC. The one thing is, with the keyboard on the laptop, it's fairly small, so you may want to put an external keyboard if the game is run by, like, the up and down, left and right arrows. Put an external mouse on rather than the little touchpad. I just like an external mouse always anyway. And again, you can add those to it very simply, so that's not really an issue. It's just you bear in mind you may need that.
See, originally, laptops used to be made with an expensive piece of hardware called a docking station. You really don't need that very much now because of this nice standard interface called USB.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy off-the-shelf items. They don't have to be from Apple. And I've seen USB keyboards for about $20 and a decent mouse for $12.
Mm-hmm. Those are just regular keyboard mouses.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, I've replaced those on our computer.
It's a little different than what you have on yours because the connector will be different. You'll need to look for the ones that are USB as opposed to PS2.
Hey, you can even go wireless.
Right. You can get a Bluetooth mouse or wireless mouse.
My daughter in college does all that stuff. Maybe she could show me how to do it.
Actually,
I have older kids.
Right. You can go actually anywhere, and as long as you ask for a USB interface, most wireless keyboards and wireless mice have a USB interface, so you're taken care of with that already, and it will work.
Yeah, part of that is you still have to plug a little wireless USB thing in. If you were to get Bluetooth, this has Bluetooth built into it. Now, if you're talking about a big, ugly computer sitting on your desk, if the desk is still going to live there, Paul can tell you about a wonderful little contraption that he just got called a Mac Mini. It's about the size, you know, the Tupperware sandwich holder you used to have to take your sandwiches to school?
Yeah.
It's about that size, about twice as tall.
It's not portable, by the way.
It is not portable, but it's a computer. And that's all, as big as it is. It doesn't make noise. and you would have to get an external mouse, keyboard, and display, but it could maybe go on your desk. I'm hesitant to say laptop because it's probably going to be sitting on your desk all the time anyway. It seems nice that we're going to pick it up and keep it in our lap and go here and go there, but you still have to be plugged in. If you want the internet, you've still got to have wireless to get your internet. So chances are the one sitting at your desk is going to be more to your liking, even though the other seems sexier maybe. But if you go to apple.com and
/Mac Mini,
there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. And the prices on these range, let's see, it's
the base are a little higher.
Actually, no, it's a little cheaper because it doesn't have a monitor. So the base unit is $599, and that's comparable. With the CPU speed's a little slower. That's about comparable to what power you'll get and storage capacities that you would get in that laptop. So you're saving $500, and you could go spend that on a nice monitor, LCD monitor. And then for $799, you get the processor that's equal to the one that's in the laptop, the base unit of the laptop, 20 gigs more of hard drive space, the same amount of RAM. Besides that extra 20 gig, and you get the super drive that will write DVDs. The $599 one writes CDs, but and only reads DVDs. It will not write a DVD for you.
What the advantage of this caller is that you may not actually be wanting to make movies, but being able to burn DVDs is a very good place to put all your important photographs as a backup.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that because I do that. I always back up my photos on DVDs.
Well, you're going to need lots of space if you've got lots of photos.
Yes.
So there you go, DVD burner. It sounds to me like what Glenn just thought of, which is the Mac Mini is possibly the one for you.
Okay, good. Yeah, my husband was the one that decided we need the laptop. He thought I could sit in bed at night and review some of his stock.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Like I have all this time
now,
with five children.
Do you have wireless internet already?
No, we don't. We just have the SBC Yahoo, which I hate.
Which
am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, that's fine. It's dial-up, right?
It's DSL.
Oh, it is DSL. Well,
yeah.
You can make that wireless. So I wouldn't hate that. DSL,
yeah.
I would. Personally,
it's
I have
slow.
Dial-up, so I'd love
know.
DSL.
It may not be working.
It's my computer.
It's your
slow.
Computer, probably.
Yeah, it's old. Yeah.
And
it's
as
old
a lot.
It's got a lot of junk on it.
Okay, as a parting shot, I would suggest, not recommend, but suggest going to Sacramento to the Arden Fair Mall and going upstairs to the Apple store in there.
Okay.
And you can get your little hands on that stuff, your little sweaty hands, and pick it up and go out the door with it after you've paid.
Well, but if I drag him in there, I'm sure we'll probably go home with one.
Me remind you here, too, that $1099 laptop only has the combo drive, which will burn CDs but only read DVDs. You have to go up to the $1,300 in order to get the super drive, what they call super drive, that'll actually burn a DVD also.
Okay.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks a lot for all your advice.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Love your show.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's go to our next caller. Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about satellite internet connection.
Yes.
Right now I'm on dial-up, and that's really all I can get where I live.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering how to go about picking a satellite company, if there's something in particular I should look for.
You have two choices.
Okay.
And so you don't have a whole lot of choices to make. Where do you live?
I live off of Bitney Springs Road.
Okay. We haven't heard of DSL going out in that direction yet.
Yeah, no, I check a lot, and it's definitely not out here.
Okay. The two different choices are Dish Network. Now, excuse me, not Dish Network. DirecTV. Do you have satellite TV already?
No.
Okay.
But we do have a hookup for it. And we have a dish and everything. It's
Okay. Well, for internet, you'd have to get a whole new dish because it's actually a satellite transmitter as well as a receiver, which the TV is just a receiver.
Okay.
So DirecTV, and I'm not sure what their rates are. You can go to online to look at their rates. Used to be their equipment cost about $700 up front and $70 a month for their internet service. Now, Wild Blue, a company that we had previewed a few months ago, has actually been purchased by AT&T, so that's part of the Dish Network AT&T system. And apparently the equipment there is about $200 up front. And
$299, I think.
$299 up front and $50 a month for their internet service. And if you bundle it with your home phone and various other things, it might be even a little less expensive. I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
So those are the two choices you have. Do you know of another one, Paul?
There is. It's got a low number of subscribers, but there's a company called Starband that I think has 22,000 subscribers across the country. I don't even know if they're still selling anything.
Okay.
And they've got a waiting list. So yeah, WildBlue and Hughes.net or MyHughes.net.
Yeah, MyHughes.net.
Yeah, I got something in the mail from Hughes. Is that...
That would be the DirecTV one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've got, well, I'll tell you what, we'll put something out on the site, again, about what we talked about today on the show, and we'll put links to those satellite sites.
Okay, that'd be great.
Usually you have to sign up for a year, but you're given some grace period of 15 or 30 days to change your mind if it doesn't suit your needs.
Uh-huh.
But after that, you're committed for the year.
Okay, and is wireless an option, or what? Oh. How does that...
Wireless is a wonderful option. Even, well, if you have... cable, DSL, I'm thinking the previous caller. If you have cable, DSL, or satellite, a broadband connection, you can go wireless with a simple wireless router. I mean, they cost $30, $40, $50. Okay. Then you would have to make your PCs in the house capable, if they aren't already,
by adding
a $20 or $30 card to them.
I don't recall, were you referring to getting the internet from wireless from outside the house somewhere?
No, I would
within the house.
Yeah.
You know what? You just reminded me. Are you on the far end of Bittany Springs, away from Nevada City, where it's high and overlooks Lake Wildwood area?
No, we're up closer to Rough and Ready Road Highway.
Okay, because you still may want to check here, and it's called Smarter Broadband.
Yeah, smarterbroadband.com. I think at some point we mean to put all these possible ways of getting the internet. There are long-range wireless services that you can get, but you have to have a pretty good visibility to where they're transmitting from.
Okay, tell me one more time.
SmarterBroadband.com. We'll have this on the website later today.
Okay, SmarterBroadband.com. And enough to check and see if I can get wireless.
Long-range wireless, not in-house wireless, but pick it up from a distance.
Oh, okay.
That's run by a fellow Brit, somebody that Paul...
Certainly.
I've forgotten his name.
Adam,
there you go.
Okay.
So you may want to check with him.
By the way, it is working for folks down on Limekiln Road and on, I think, Wolf Road and in that area. If you go to that website, there's a map of where the coverage is, and it's just improved at smarterbroadband.com.
Boy, I wonder if that would work for me. I'm going to go check right now.
All right, thanks very much, caller.
Thank you.
I'm going to try playing another radio spot, if you don't mind, Glenn.
Okay, and then we'll go to our next caller after that.
Crazy pencil gum. Crazy pencil gum. Crazy pencil gum.
Mom, I'm bored!
Why don't you play with your toys, honey?
I hate my toys! They're stupid!
Are your kids bored with their toys? Well, you need an exciting new game from Bally Toys. It's Crazy Pencil Cup!
Yay! How do I play?
Pick up your pencils.
Yeah!
And your pens.
Yeah!
And put them in the cup!
Yeah!
Thanks, Bally Toys! My kids love their new Crazy Pencil Cup.
Don't be fooled by Rake's Crazy Pencil Cup's fun. Only Crazy Pencil Cup's wacky!
Crazy Pencil Cup, you heard it here first on KVMR. You know, that's actually true, that there's a lot of technology gets pushed just like it's something wonderful, and it's the same old garbage repackaged. So, yeah, Pencil Cup. Ever heard of such a thing?
Yes, I have. You know what? If this green section is where his service is available, I'm in the green section.
Cool.
It's like, what is that? South of 49, it covers from, I can't see what that says. Higgins Corner, up to Cherry Creek Acres, and over to LaBar Meadows Road. And then, oh my gosh. So I need to go take a look and see. That looks like what he's, well, I don't know. I'm maybe getting overly excited. And for some reason, I was looking at this map, and I don't see the Lake Wildwood area.
Huh.
Line of sight to Wolf Mountain. But you never know
where. Line of sight to Wolf Mountain. Okay.
There you go. We hope that works.
Thank you.
Where else? We've got a bunch of phone thingies going off, and I've got another radio spot. Let's do some calls, and I'll do another radio spot, because it's kind of fun.
Okay. Yeah, because we've got four different phone calls here. So let's take this next caller. Hi, you're live on the air. This is KVMR Zentech. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. You know, I had called you guys a couple weeks ago telling you that I couldn't open up attachments anymore.
Yes.
And I gave you the wrong, I think I told you Explorer Express or something.
But Outlook Express maybe, yeah.
Outlook Express, yeah, but it's actually Internet Explorer. And so anyway, so when I got home and found out that I gave you the wrong information, that I couldn't do anything with the information you had already given me.
Have you got it there in front of you, this machine?
No, actually I'm in the vehicle again.
Okay.
So, now, I thought it was an issue of your email. You couldn't open up attachments from your email. So Internet Explorer is not an email program.
No, but when I have a Yahoo account.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay then, yeah.
Yeah, so when I receive attachments, which I do a lot because that's how I do my business, I would be able to click on the attachment, scan and save it to my desktop, and then open it. But now it won't let me do that. The file, you know, when the paper goes over to the file,
yeah,
it will go there for hours and never, ever, ever download. And that just happened overnight. One day I tried to download an attachment, and it just stopped letting me do it.
Now, so when you click on the attachment, I have an attachment in front of me, and I'm going to click on it, and it takes me to another page that said virus scan results. There's no virus detected. Download download attachment. So I click on that, and that's what you do also?
Yes, I do that.
Okay, and then it opens another window, and it'll say opening the picture, and then you can say open with or save to disk, and then you can choose if you always wanted to save to disk, you can click the little box that says do this automatically. So whichever you choose there, you say okay, and you say it never happens?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't let me. It doesn't download it onto my desktop anymore.
You know what, caller? I just I don't actually use Yahoo. I looked and did a search on Google, and there's a question here actually from Yahoo Forums saying, I can receive emails, but I can't open attachments. Can you help me? It says here, and underneath the answer is, I don't know if it's the right answer, but it's an answer. If you're using MS Windows, which you are, set your security level back to default. That's probably something you haven't changed. We'll talk about that in a moment. The other choice says save your files or attachments before opening them. It sometimes antivirus doesn't like you clicking on what amounts to being a web page. When you're getting Yahoo Mail, you're picking up the mail off a web page, and it looks like something bad happening.
Oh.
So your antivirus might be intercepting that and stopping it. So what you might try is right click on the attachment and then left click on save link as.
Now, another thing is it might be saving it, and you have somehow directed it to another location. And so I would suggest that you check that. When it says save, I believe, let me just double check it. Oh, and mine doesn't say where it's going to save it, but I know that mine is directed automatically to My Documents Downloads. So you may want to double check that to see, because when I say save to disk, does it open another dialog box? No, it just went ahead and downloaded it. So you may want to look under your tools and find out where downloaded files are going on your computer.
Where downloaded files are going.
You might have actually got the files but not know where they are.
Right, and another way to know that for sure is with the name of the file, because as you're downloading it, you see the name of it there. In this case, I've got picture.jpg. After you think you've downloaded it, go to Start, Search, and type in that file name and search your hard drive.
Okay, and the other suggestion,
locate it that way.
Sure, the other suggestion here was, which I don't know if it applies, is the suggestion was that you set the Internet Explorer security value back to default or standard. To do that, you open Internet Explorer and you go Tools, Internet Options, Security, Default Level, okay?
Security Default Level.
Right.
Now, when you see that box open up and then that paper kind of goes from the right to the left, you know, like it's going to download it.
Oh, okay.
That's what doesn't happen. It won't go into the folder and then say save. It just.
I think antivirus is intercepting it. I think.
Yeah. Or your security settings. And default security settings in Internet Explorer, as long as you've kept up with your downloads for security purposes, should be fine. A lot of people don't want cookies, and what I found is when you start messing with that stuff, it really can get you in trouble for things like this, little peripheral things that you don't do too much, and suddenly, oops, they're not working.
Okay. All right. I'll try that. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Can we do a mad cow spray spot, Glenn, do you think?
We've got 3 phone calls holding.
Oh, please.
Okay, go ahead.
This is what you do if you like beef, but you're afraid of mad cow disease.
Okay.
Are you concerned about mad cow disease? Statistics show that you never know when or where you might get it. But now there's all new Beef Safe Mad Cow Spray. One little spritz on your meat, and your burger, butt steak, or prime rib is safe from mad cow disease. Use Beef Safe Mad Cow Spray at restaurants, at drive-thrus, on the road, while traveling, at friends and relatives, even at home. Beef Safe Mad Cow Spray is guaranteed to remove anthrax and scurvy from beef, chicken, pork, matzo balls, and even hot Hungarian sausages. So be safe with Beef Safe Mad Cow Spray. Explosive diarrhea may occur with prolonged use. Consult your physician if you contract actual mad cow disease anyway.
Oh, dear.
No comment.
Next caller.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Welcome.
Hi.
We'll need to go pretty quickly. We have another call after you, and we're going to be ending the show here. What do you have for us today?
Well, maybe something that you could discuss on your next show, or what I'm doing right now is I am looking at all the different media players that happen to be on my machine.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. This is an HP that I just recently bought, and it came with a feature called Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which has some benefits. And then there's also the Windows Media Player. And then Mozilla Firefox has a video player that seems to be related also to Real Networks.
Yeah.
And it's a Real Player plugin, yeah.
It's a plugin.
And then
okay.
Windows, Internet Explorer, is using something called the AT&T Yahoo video
Flash player or something. Yeah,
you probably put in that lovely yellow disc that they send out with your AT&T Yahoo DSL or dial-up access, and that installs a lot of funny stuff there.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, so you have a lot of them, and is it confusing to you that everybody's using something different?
Well, of course, that is somewhat confusing, and then also I'm just sort of, I'm looking at these and I'm going, well, what are the benefits and what are the detractions to, you know, using these? And I'm trying to narrow down what I use, but I also am looking to, you know, utilize whatever resources are available to them my best advantage.
Which do you like best so far?
So far?
Yeah.
I'd say Rhapsody has the best feature for doing music research. You know, discovering different things that you want to learn about.
Okay.
And then Windows Media Player seems to have the cleanest interface.
Right.
And, you know, and then the others are all, looks like they're all things off of Real Networks from what I can gather. I'm not sure.
Sometimes it's not clear which media player got used, but you can be sure in each of the media player programs that you mentioned, each one of them, and you didn't mention iTunes, but Windows Media Player.
Oh,
the
I got iTunes on here too, yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere in each of those programs is what you might call a God button, and it says, use this program for all media on this machine.
Right.
So if you've decided that Rhapsody is the way to go, then you check that box, which they all supply.
Well, actually, using that, what you're talking about, I was attempting to just utilize them for certain media, and that would make it a little easier.
That gets trickier because some of them, when they launch, unknown to you, decide that because you launched it once, they should be used for everything.
Uh-huh.
So what you're after is horses for courses, I guess, that certain things you like to be used, like when you put a CD in the machine, it might be nice to have iTunes up, but when you click on a web link, you might like to have something else come up. That gets trickier because you can tweak each of them to make it play the right media type,
uh-huh.
And then some damn thing will go in and, excuse the language, change everything.
Yeah, any new thing that you may download, by default it says, oh, I want to do everything for you.
I'm not sure how to lock any of these programs from changing things. Some of them have actually got an option that says don't allow other programs to change it away.
Over.
It's a mess. It really is a mess. But each of them has got a series of checkboxes that says use this to play AU files or AIFF and AAC and MP3 and so on and so forth.
I was under the impression that some of these browsers or these players were compatible with certain files and some of them...
That's true. So, for example, RA files, real audio files, were strictly speaking only play back in the real player.
Right.
However, MP3s will play back in everything.
Oh.
So in some cases, you're stuck with the choice.
Mm-hmm.
In other cases, you're not. Another solution is to make a folder with a short sample of each type of sound file you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Right-click on it and go play with.
Uh-huh.
And then choose the application. So if you know you've got seven or eight different types of sound files,
mm-hmm.
you just have that rather ugly, what's known in the computer world as a kludge,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's the ugliest way on the earth, but it works. So you keep one MP3, one RA file, one AAC file,
right.
and you see what launches when you hit it.
Okay. Fascinating. Thank you very much.
Thank
All right,
you for
you're welcome.
Calling in. Good luck with that.
Okay.
Let's take our last caller real quick. And caller, we've got you on the air. And I do want to just remind folks and thank for helping to underwrite this past hour programming, OhmSoft Technologies, providing local internet solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution. And to remind you that you're listening to KVMR FM, Nevada City. Hi, caller. Go ahead.
Hello there. I live way out on Ferdin Road. Never expect to get DSL. and 28K is very painful. So with satellite, is that the only way I could go with satellite, and does TV broadcasting have to come with it?
No. And yes. No, you don't need to get TV. Right, no, you don't need TV. Yes, satellite is one of the few ways to do it. There is another way. I'm going to put a link up because so many people ask this. We forgot to mention today that you can get reasonable internet service through your cell phone company, but it's going to cost $70 a month or so.
Well, cell phone, I don't even have cell phone service out there.
Okay.
Then that's not an option. And you also do have to be able to see the southern sky, some important portion of the southern sky in order to get satellite. Can you see a reasonable part of the sky in the south?
Yes.
Good. Then it should be okay. And we'll put a link up on the site, trywildblue.com.
All right.
And I believe, is it mydirectway.com?
It's DirectWay, which I think went away. Maybe Hughes.
Excuse
me,
MyHughes.net.
We'll get that, and we'll have that up there. So Wild Blue still works for the AT&T takeover.
Okay.
And then we'll have another link on zen.kvmr.org. And you can write to us at zen@kvmr.org, and we've got a run.
Go ahead. When you get that satellite, do you have to have an internet service provider, or are
They are your internet service provider.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. And James Accardi is in it. Sorry, Jimmy Accardi is in here with the Rock and Roll Party for the next couple of hours. So we can give him his music, not ours, to run us up to the 2 o'clock hour, it being 1:58 in the afternoon. We've done the underwriter,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have.
Thanks to Ohmsoft, and it's 63 degrees in our beautiful little town here. And we're going to fire it up for Jimmy. Go right ahead. Take care. Bye for now.
See you in a fortnight.
Seem like you. Darling, I sing my song. You're leaving, make my heart beat low and slow. Now I'm wondering, where did you go? Please tell me what is wrong.